This is literally the first time I've had a Facebook.
And you so don't really. You have half of Facebook.
So you're going to have to tell... You're going to talk to me just like this. Tell me how to do a Facebook. Is that a thing? Do you do Facebook?
That's weird. Your mom probably has better understanding.
Why do you got to bring my mom into this? Just tell the people about our social media. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin Brown Ward. Next to me, my esteemed colleague, Joseph Hardiman. Say hello.
Hello.
Very good. Pays attention, follows directions. It's all you can ask for out of a podcast co-host. We are regular disc golfers. We love to play disc golf. We love to watch disc golf. We love to talk about disc golf. And that is one of the reasons we are here. The other reason is that we have young children, and we don't get to play as much as we'd like to, but we do have time in the middle of the night to talk to you about it and how much more we'd like to play. So that's why we're here.
Indeed, indeed. We are your average run-of-the-mill addicted disc golfers. Moreover, we like to throw stuff at stuff.
Exactly. Love throwing stuff at things. We spend more money on discs than we would like to tell our wives.
Or our friends. Or
our friends. Really anybody but other disc golfers.
I might still keep some of that in with other disc golfers.
Definitely had a couple of people look at the bag that are friends and just go, what do you need all those for? And they just don't understand until they get out on the course and play.
And they also don't understand that we have shelves and bins and all sorts of other discs that aren't even in our bag.
They hadn't even seen the closet. They just saw like six putters in a stack somewhere in my house or something like that. But that's the deal. That's why we love this sport. You get out there, you play, you get hooked, and that's the end. You just keep going and keep playing and keep getting better, meeting new people, new awesome people all the time. Courses are popping up everywhere too. Disc golf is a beautiful sport. And we are so excited to be a part of what we see as a disc golf renaissance. It's growing like crazy, and we're seeing people at the courses all the time, new people every weekend, and it's just a really beautiful thing that's going on with disc golf right now.
It is. It is. And I want to reiterate that piece that you brought up earlier. I think one of the best things about this sport is the people that you run into on the course, whether they are looking for tips or they have tips, or they just want to share a story with you. It's all good people on that course. It's definitely a beautiful fraternity. And I say that in the honor society sense, where there's men and women. It's a lot of fun.
Definitely. So we want to start off just telling you a little bit about ourselves so you can get a feel for who we are and what we're all about. We started playing disc golf in college, which was not that long ago, long enough ago. We'll get to the age thing a little bit later. But we both played disc golf for the first time up in Chico, California. We're both California guys, born and raised here in the North Bay, and went to college in Chico and played our first disc golf up in Bidwell State Park, Upper Bidwell to be specific. And at that time, that course was pins. There was no baskets. It was just literally like galvanized poles with a larger galvanized pole hung at the top as a bell, essentially.
I think they're referred to as bells, maybe. I don't know. If you're listening to this, there's probably a good chance that you've never played on a course that has bells.
Yeah. It was more like...
Even that course, those pins don't exist anymore. Yeah.
It was almost like an object course, the way you're designed to hit something. You had like a 6-inch target to hit this thing. Now, granted, this course was also extremely short. I think most of the holes were less than 200 feet and things like that. And we were throwing tomahawks and all kinds of stuff. We really had no idea what we were doing.
And by we mean mostly me. Robin had an understanding of how to throw at the pins and how to drive. For me, it was an excuse to fight off a hangover, have a backpack full of beer, and, like I said earlier, throw stuff at other stuff. So it was funny. I only bring that up because your description quickly made me think, and realize that I had no clue what the distances on any of those holes were. The only thing that ever stuck in my head about that course was there was definitely a hole that if you shot long, you're off a cliff and bye-bye disc.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So Bidwell, it sits right on a ridge, a huge ridge, probably like a 300-400 foot drop down into a river. So there's parts of it, and this course has since been completely redone and is a legit 18-hole awesome disc golf course. Not extremely challenging, but it's still a very good course. Lots of challenges, lots of tight runs, lots of danger. I mean, that course drops off big time.
And definitely one that we've played since, or yeah. I've played since with an understanding of what to do with this sport, how to drive, approach, all that kind of stuff. And only have played it once since then, and definitely would love to go back.
Yeah, it was a great course. Really great. But like Joe said, we really were just out there. We were with friends, sometimes in rolling with groups of eight or something like that. Big-time disc golf no-no.
We still let people play through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as you let people play through, you can have as big a group as you want. Just be aware of the people around you, obviously. But that's where it started. And it was a pastime in that part of college. After that, I transferred from Chico over to UC Davis. And in a period of time, I lived in Sacramento right near Shady Oaks, which is a really terrific course. That is a pro-level tournament course that is there in Orangevale, California, which is just north of Sacramento, kind of northeast of Sacramento, kind of by Folsom in that sort of area. Gibson hails from that area. That's his home course, big-time pro. And that's where I kind of figured out that disc golf wasn't just a sport where you go and drink beer. I played with people, and that was the first time that I had people talking to me about OB and all kinds of stuff. There's a little creek that runs through that course.
Step-through putts.
Yeah.
All those good things.
But I could walk to that course from my house, and so I started really playing it all the time. And that's where I really started to develop the actual disc golf skills and learn. From there, I went to Davis. I graduated from Davis, UC Davis, and moved to San Francisco after that and lived within 20 minutes of Golden Gate Park.
Before that, you did have some cool little like nine holes and stuff around you also.
We do, right? Yeah. Davis has a nine-hole course that is basically a pitch and putt. Very, very short holes. Things like that. It's nothing. I didn't play it all that often, to be honest. I went into Sacramento, or I came back to Sonoma County and played in that area where there are a lot more courses. There's also a course in Vacaville, things like that. But San Francisco is where my love of disc golf became an obsession.
Right. And I do want to point out, if you have not played Golden Gate, you need to get out there.
Yeah.
It is an awesome course. It's maintained incredibly well.
It really is.
It's got a father in my mind, which is Patrick Brown.
Yep, PB.
And he keeps it clean, and it's just a culture there that is all about it and really keeps it one of the best courses in Northern California.
It really is. It's got all kinds of intrigue. It's a super technical course. There are easy holes and there are difficult holes, but Joe's right. Patrick Brown, a local pro, has really been a steward of that course and really nice guy too. If you catch him on the course, he will talk to you. I've seen him many a time out there just talking to someone, that just helping him out with their game and showing him how to putt or doing something. He's really, really a nice guy and an ambassador for disc golf, definitely. And he's got some new sponsors, too. He's starting to reap the benefits.
That's crazy, which makes sense. Actually, we talked about this the other day, about him moving to DD.
I think so, yeah.
And if not DD...
Was it Latitude?
I was going to say.
We should check it.
Probably Latitude. We'll put something in the description of this that explains exactly what it is, so you know, because we're not going to figure it out this moment. But I think that is really great for him. He is an awesome disc golfer, and he saw an opportunity in my mind. I don't really know. I'm not his best friend, but I figure that's why he moved somewhere else away from Innova. But I want to take a step back into our kind of story of who we are. So Rob and I kind of diverged. So when he went to Davis and was living near Shady Oaks, I, a similar time, moved back home. So we're from Sonoma, California, wine country, about an hour north of San Francisco. And disc golf really wasn't on my radar. It was something that was fun that I recalled, like I said, as a fun outing with friends on a Sunday to kind of finish the weekend up. But it wasn't really something I did since my days in Chico. And definitely, I never would have considered myself an avid disc golfer at that time even. But the beautiful thing, Robin actually moved back to Sonoma. He had a great job opportunity. Actually lived with my wife and I for a little bit. And I couldn't help but be drawn back into this beautiful sport. We had a few, actually we had a course really. I guess two. We had Crane Creek in Roanoke Park, which is
the perfect open, place.
Right. It's the open of the open. It's there's maybe three technical holes, if that.
Yeah.
On this course.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of open space. A great place to just reach back and throw and figure it out. I might say, though, when wind hits that course, it does become a much harder course. So that's one beautiful thing about it. And then there was Skyline and Napa. So a little bit of a drive for us. Probably equidistant, but for some reason, as Sonoma County guys, Napa seemed like a world away.
Further away.
And that's all through growing up.
Skyline is a great course.
It definitely is. And I think that is definitely much more technical. Lots of hills. You can, you know, miss a 4-foot putt and have it roll 45 feet away. And if your head isn't in the game, it can definitely ruin your round and ruin your day.
45 feet sounds like a really, really small
distance. That's true. By 45.
You mean 400 or?
Probably. Dang, that's true. You can roll away far enough that it's probably better to just take a drop and putt again than to try and go to your disc.
So you hear common terms in disc golf with probably the most famous course in California, which is De La Viega. And they say getting De La'd, which is when your disc rolls away down into
right,
a canyon.
Right.
That's kind of like a California thing. It's dry here. It does not rain. And in the summer, the ground is hard and rocky. And we have hills.
Mm-hmm.
And when your disc doesn't land just right, you're going to roll down a hill.
Right. And it's not uncommon to hear or to say being skylined.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in general, it's a pretty common thing on a lot of our courses. We have some flat ones, too. And definitely. And down in SoCal, there's some grassy ones and things like that. But for the most part, up here in Northern California and heading on up into Tahoe and places around there, it is hilly. The ground is hard. There are rocks. And your disc is going to roll if you don't land right.
Right. So, to bring it all back together, Robin lived with my wife and myself around the same time that he found his lovely wife. But I digress. And we started playing a lot more. So it was a good way to get out of the house, get some exercise, and like we've referenced probably three times already, throw stuff at other stuff.
Throw stuff at things. It's a good life.
So Robin and his brother, actually, who was also more of an avid disc golfer than myself, started playing a lot more, and I slowly moved from, and I say slowly, but I guess in the grand scheme, it wasn't that slow. I moved from, you know, topping out at 150 feet to being able to get it out to 300, 320, granted with an awful, horrible hyzer, but as we said earlier, perfect for Crane Creek.
It was a wide open course. Joe actually progressed really quickly. At that point, I was most likely an intermediate disc golfer, and Joe was a complete novice.
Yes.
He was playing with overstable distance drivers, and he didn't have the arm for it.
And that was the second generation of my game. The first generation of my game was, oh, I should have some discs. So, lucky me. At the time I was getting into it, our local Dollar Tree had opened up and was selling discs. So they had a putter and two drivers, quote-unquote drivers, for $1 a piece. So I bought one of each, and I thought to myself, I'm saving so much money. I bought three discs for what you've spent on a third of one of your discs. I'm already winning.
You should have seen my face when he showed up, and he was so proud. He was like, I got these discs for $3, and I'm like, put them in the trash can.
And I was proud for really long.
He was, too.
Like, months. He's like, oh, like he's been on 3 or 4 months of of these awful, super hard plastic, just garbage discs.
All I remember is that the driver was called a Super Turn. I don't even remember the brand. But I remember just being really embarrassed for you. And just overall hoping that you would see the light. But eventually you got there.
I did. And we'll get into that later. And that's going to be kind of an overarching storyline of our podcast as you listen and as we kind of reach back to old stories of us playing. You'll hear about those great pieces of my awesome beginning.
The biggest thing that we want to cover in this podcast as it goes on and why we're telling you our story is that we want to cover the journey of a first-time disc golfer and how you help people to move along, how you help a beginner, how you get someone into the sport, and how you grow in a way that is helpful to your game overall. There's so many times that we see, and ourselves do, not just see, things that are detrimental to our game. Techniques that we do, or throwing style, or even the disc that you use, which is a major point of ours, that is just not good for your own game. And
right.
And it's just something that we feel that we're going to cover quite a bit in this podcast is little tips. We're going to have segments in this show where we're just going to cover maybe one thing that's going to help a first-time disc golfer or an intermediate disc golfer, something along those lines that we want to go.
Right, and I think the other piece, too, with our stories and understanding our game and how we came up are kind of qualifiers. We definitely don't have any tournament titles or pro titles. We don't have any YouTube videos at this point that you can look to understand what our game is like. So the more we can qualify, the more I feel and maybe we feel you can connect with us.
Definitely.
I think that's a big thing when I listen to a podcast or I watch a video or I read a disc review, which we will be doing disc reviews. It comes down to understanding how that person throws or what they do.
Definitely.
Because we do use numbers. Rob and I use numbers as an understanding somewhat of what the disc is.
The flight numbers of a disc.
Right. And I'll tell you, too, that is purely, and I'm going to give this, and we'll probably say it a few more podcasts, that's really based on Innova flight numbers. That's what we kind of came up throwing. Robin still throws majority. Actually, I throw majority Innova discs, but that's what I'll reference or that's what I'll compare is the flight numbers of Innova if I'm going to tell you about something. But the other big piece, like I was saying, was what does that Innova disc look like out of my hands or Robin's hands or someone else's hands? Because that's really how you're going to understand how it might throw for you.
Or that Prodigy disc or whatever it is. We do have some other things that crack our bags. But yeah, I've been a long time Innova thrower. There's probably 3 or 4 other discs that I...
Right.
Three other brands that I have in my bag currently. But
and like I said, we're super open. We are not reliant on a single brand. As we definitely brought up earlier, we have lots of discs. We have thrown lots of discs from many different brands. We tend to see new discs that come out or hear about a certain disc and buy it.
Yep.
Put it in our bag, throw it for a while, see what it's like. It's part of our evolving game, I think, is finding the discs that work right. And I think we're probably in a spot where we are more comfortable with what we have and have a really good understanding at this point of what works well for us. So that makes buying a new disc work a lot better because I can instantly compare it to something else that I'll throw all the time and decide whether or not it's the same thing or it's going to do something different.
So now that we've covered a little bit about us and everything else, I'd like to just go over quickly what we're going to talk about for the rest of the podcast.
Perfect.
So what we've got for you today, we're going to do top beginner tips. So we're just going to go your first time on the course. What are the top three things or whatever it is? We might go to four. You never know. And just what are the best things that you can do for a first time disc golfer when you get out on the course? Next thing we're going to do is a regular segment on this podcast, which is going to be our disc and beer pairing segment. So we are going to review a disc and a beer at the same time and give you reasons why that disc and that beer go together.
And with that said, we are casual disc golfers. We love disc golf, but we also love beer.
We do.
So as we do. The normal run-of-the-mill Joes, which I'm the namesake to, feel like beer is a part of our game. We tend to probably have a beverage, maybe, on the course here and there. But I thought it'd be something fun to bring to you all.
Yeah, definitely. Little bit of a joke, because obviously, you know, you're not, don't really need to pair a disc with a beer. But yeah, whatever.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
From there, we're going to bring another segment that's going to continue with pretty much all of our episodes, which is a top three. So this week, we're going to bring you our top three YouTube channels to watch. Like we said, we love playing, we read about it, and we watch probably a third of the conversations that we have with each other throughout the week via text or in person is, oh, did you watch so-and-so's video? Did you watch that on YouTube? Wow.
Did you see that eagle? Did you, you know, whatever it was. There are tons of great YouTube disc golf channels where we find most of our disc golf media, and we're going to tell you our favorites. The next thing we want to do, it's the beginning of the year. It's early February right now. Disc golf season is just about to start. We want to tell you our goals for ourselves this year, just what we want to work on specifically to get better as disc golfers for this season.
Right. With all this said, yes, we are, intermediate disc golfers, maybe tipping on advanced when everything is in line, but we want to be better. I think both of us have the goal to be that intermediate and play some tournaments and hopefully do well in them.
That depends on whether my wife will approve that.
Well, yeah. Well, that's pretty much everything we do in this game, I'll be honest, and you'll hear more about that. Definitely, we are family men. Like Robin said, we have small children, and it's hard to carve out that time, but I'm sure we'll be able to do it.
Yeah, we'll get there someday. Why don't we get into our top beginner tips right off? We feel that, in general, when you step onto that course with someone new, the biggest mistake that we see is someone who's never thrown before getting out there and being given a distance driver.
Right, and I think there's multiple ways that this happens. They go to a local disc golf store, and I understand if you're sitting behind that desk and you want to sell for your business, you're going to put a more expensive disc, you're going to put top line, but it's also when you get out there, I know for myself, I thought and asked, what's the furthest flying disc that you can find? Mm-hmm. And that is definitely detrimental to a beginner's game.
Definitely. And on top of that, they'll say like maximum distance driver on them, things like that. People want to throw far. They want to do that. And they think they need a driver. And it's really not true.
Definitely. And I came from an athletic background, actually. A little more insight to our past. Robin and I grew up together. We played Pop Warner football. We went to high school together. We went to college together. Athletics, being athletic was a big part of it. So definitely for me, I was like, I'm a big, strong guy. Give me the fastest flying disc and I'll throw it a mile.
Definitely. That definitely happened.
It did. A lot. It 100% did.
Yet to throw it a mile, but that's okay. That's fine. We're getting there.
Yeah, I got like half mile, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, sure. But
well, that's when it rolled down the hill at De La. It probably went like a half mile.
Off the top of the world hole. A big time turnover shank that then rolled down the canyon and went half a mile, right?
I mean, that could have happened.
It's possible.
You can't prove that it didn't.
I cannot. All definitely. Right then. Fine. Fine.
So, with that said, starting off, and we practice what we preach. So, a big piece of what we do and what we'll preach in this podcast is bringing new people out. And when we do so, we want to put a low-speed disc in their hand. Something that they control. Something that, in my mind, will be similar to, say, a Frisbee, because that's all the knowledge that they have.
Yeah.
So we tend to go with
Putters. Putters or mid-ranges.
And when we say mid-range, we're talking an understable mid-range.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a fresh titanium buzz.
Yeah.
In someone's hands, because it's not going to do anything that they
want. Yeah, we'll give them a Pro D Buzz or a DX plastic rock or a classic rock.
Or Mic Pro rock.
Something along those lines. Or a putter. Really, I mean, AVRs or a shield. Things like that that are going to be a good low speed disc that will fly straight and true, and that's really all they need. They don't know anything about grip. They're not going to understand grip for probably at least the first year fully. So the worst thing you can do is put a meat hook in their hands and expect them to figure out disc golf. And I think what happens when you do that is people start to Anheuser. Because they realize that the disc goes left every time, hard left, or for a left-handed player, it goes hard right. We're going to probably, another caveat, we're going to probably refer to most throws as a right-hand backhand throw. We are both right-handed. Right-handed, and that's most likely what we're going to refer to. We'll try to make reference to it.
We'll make reference, and we'll try to, you know, just like Robin did, give the flight path for a left-handed player, if we remember. If we don't, just know that we default to a right-hand backhand.
Definitely.
And when we talk about sidearm, we're talking about a right-handed flick.
And we're sorry, lefties. We love you. It's always awesome to see you out on the course.
Totally. Fun fact. Yeah. Just a quick little story.
I know exactly where you're going.
A few weeks ago, Robin and I, playing at one of our local courses, Taylor Mountain, which is a newer one that came up, probably in the last year, which
Santa Rosa, which California, is a
great little course. We ended up playing with a guy who threw right hand backhand, and that's mostly for his up game and his putting, and then a left handed forehand,
killer forehand,
killer. Like he was bombing over 400, easy.
Yeah.
But it was so funny to see this guy who had the same flight path basically with every throw, threw right handed and left handed. But with the same flight path because he had a backhand with the right and a forehand with the left.
Totally. It was interesting. Normally you want to complement the forehand with the backhand to get the different flight pattern to give you another shot in your bag. But in this case, it was...
Yeah, he was a killer, though.
It worked.
He showed us what's up.
He
definitely was a better player than we were.
Well, that's depressing.
Listen, he did say that he played some pro tournaments and he putted nails. Anyways.
And you know what? Every time you get on a course and you play with someone that you know is better than you, that's an opportunity for you to learn. That's a time when you need to pay attention and watch what they're doing. And if they're willing to give you any tips or anything like that, that's probably the most important thing. And our next tip.
Exactly. I was just about to say. And this is actually how I try to live my life somewhat professionally in my job. And it took me a little bit to bring that piece over to the disc golf game. And that's being feedback focused. That is taking the advice that people get you in stride and trying to put it into your game rather than saying, something that I definitely did, and still dependent on the day and the time and how my round is going, brushing it off and not thinking about it.
Or taking it personally, you know.
Exactly. So that's a huge piece, is just to take everything in, use it. It might not work. People throw different. Technique is different. Grips are different. But if you're not willing to give it a try, you're not going to let your game grow.
Definitely not. And even at all levels, Joe and I played along, and for quite some time, I was playing at a significantly higher skill level than he was, and was working with him to try and get his game to jump to the next level. And you do have to be careful about that when you're talking to someone and not talk down to them or anything along those lines. But on the exact opposite side, you have to be ready to listen to someone and ask for help, or ask, what did you throw, or how did you do that, or how did you hold that, or mm-hmm. any of those questions. When you're around someone that you can tell has a much higher skill level or has a different throw than you do, all those things, those are opportunities for you to grow as a disc golfer. And there are lots of really skilled golfers all over the place. All over the place.
Totally.
And I think that's really important. So feedback focus, we're talking both ways. We're saying you as a good disc golfer need to be ready to listen for help, and also not be condescending to someone that
is
a up-and-coming player, a beginner. They could be terrible, but you have to be positive, and you have to be encouraging, and you have to be ready to let them do what they're going to do.
Right.
If they don't want to give up that Firebird that they're throwing on day one, or their stiletto, or whatever the overstable distance driver that they've got in their hands.
Or their cannon, whatever.
Or their cannon. Joe's favorite driver was a cannon for a long time.
I still love it, because I can actually throw it.
He can throw it now. At the time,
no.
Not so much.
So but, yeah, so I do want to just reiterate what Robin said. So it is taking that feedback, but not just listening, but being willing to attempt and try the things that are told to you. Mm-hmm. And like you said, then in turn, when you're giving advice, think about what made it easier for you to take advice.
Yeah.
You know, it was always, I guarantee, when someone brought it to you in a positive way.
Yeah.
And you wanted to go with it. If you're going to be a jerk about it, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to make that game worse for that person. And as we're in this whole podcast game, as we're in disc golf as a sport, it's to grow it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that's going to push people out faster than being a douchebag on the course and talking shit.
Yeah, definitely not.
So which brings to our third biggest piece for brand new players. And this is another one that I had to learn, was to just have fun.
Yeah.
Like, go out there, be positive. If you miss that 5-foot putt and it rolls, you know, 120 feet down a hill, brush it off. Know you're out on a course, you're out in nature, having a good time, it's a beautiful day, roll with it.
So exactly.
I don't really know what Robin was like when he was really coming up, because he was doing it away from me, but I sucked in the sense of having fun. My competitive nature came out way too harsh. I definitely have kicked more than one bag. I definitely have turned around and thrown a disc far away in another direction and forgot or didn't see where it landed. I've been the guy who gets frustrated and shuts down and doesn't talk. I've done all of it. And I know not only has my game improved, but my attitude has improved just by being able to brush it off and have fun with it and acknowledge that we're out there playing a game, and of course we want to be the best, but it's okay sometimes when you're not the best.
Definitely. It really is fine, and you are in a great situation. You're out playing disc golf, you're out in the sun or rain, whatever it is. I've had a blast playing in pouring rain before, and that's what the sport is all about. And you have to be able to have fun in those moments and recognize that the fun. I feel like the positivity is what can bring you back from that bad shot. When you have that terrible shot, if you can reset yourself and remember how much fun this game is, that's probably the best way in my mind to get your round back in hand. If all of a sudden you had a rollaway bogey or a birdie to bogey type situation and you kind of feel your round getting away from you, that's what's going to bring you back, is that positive thinking first, and then that will give you the confidence to close out your round
right,
the way you
to
want
to. Step up to the next hole and park a perfect drive and erase that bogey.
Exactly. So, and even if you do have a terrible round, you can still finish that round feeling good, knowing that you got out there and you did something positive. You got out there, you learned a new throw, you made a great putt on hole four, whatever it was, that's extremely important. So, just to recap our beginner tips. Our first one was give a beginner a low-speed disc.
And if you are a beginner, pick up a mid-range.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you buy a three-pack, there's a mid-range in there. If you buy the end of a three-pack, you're probably going to have a shark in there.
Yeah.
And an AVR. Pick one of those to start with. Don't worry about that orc or that beast or whatever else is in there. Get those ones that, quote-unquote, don't go as far. Throw that. You master that, and your game is going to be amazing.
Exactly. The next one, our next one, was being feedback-focused. Be open to criticism. Be open to the idea that you have so much to learn. And also, on the opposite end, be positive as you give people advice. And don't talk down to them. Give them advice that they can handle, that they can understand. You know, don't try to teach someone a power grip when they're throwing an AVR. It's really not an important part of it.
Don't worry about an X step.
Yeah.
You know, get the whole having your body turn the right way
and
releasing it flat.
You know, just be there for the person and let them play the way they want to play, but try and guide them in the right direction.
Because you want them to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
You want them to keep playing.
Yeah, we can all use more disc golf buddies.
And then lastly, have fun. And I think we talked about it more in depth than that, but I think just those two words in themselves really nail and drive home that point.
Yeah.
Have fun. Have fun on the disc golf course. Have fun throwing hole to hole. Have fun trying to clean up your bogey from 75 feet down a hill. It's all going to work out.
Yeah, definitely. And you'll have a better round for it every single time. So this brings us to our next segment, which is the extremely popular Back by Popular Demand.
Probably the only reason you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, definitely the only reason. The beer and disc pairing section, which is where we pick a disc and a beer to review and explain why it made sense to pair.
And who knows? Do we pick the beer first and then the disc? Or the other way around?
Who knows?
This time it was the disc, I'm going to be honest.
We don't know, actually, to be honest. We haven't figured that part out yet at all. But today, we have a disc and a beer that we think go together quite well. We have the brand new 14-speed Innova Colossus, the G-Star Colossus.
Which I believe is the only package that it is released in at this point in time.
And we felt it would be appropriate to pair it with Lagunitas Maximus,
which is a dirty, awesome IPA.
Exactly. And we felt that the word Maximus and the word Colossus made sense to go together.
They're similar.
There's really no other relationship other than that. I mean, they were both made in California.
That is true.
So that's another one.
So let's start with the disc.
Yeah, because I'm sure that's what you care about most. So this is the first 14-speed driver by Innova, which is interesting. It is G-Star plastic, so it is fairly pliable star plastic mold. It almost looks like a Blizzard disc. You can see a little bit of the variation in the rim of the disc.
Some bubbles.
Some bubble-looking parts. These ones are light. The one I'm holding is 168, and I don't think that we could have gotten anything any heavier than that. I think
we found it kind of late in its run before it sold out.
So, and it has a beautiful stamp on it, a nice foil stamp of a giant-looking creature. Joe was saying that he felt it looked like one of those Lord of the Rings tree people.
Yeah, the Ents.
The Ents, yeah. Which I think is accurate. Also reminds me of that movie Troll Hunter.
Yep.
With the giant trolls that run around. It's a pretty cool stamp. Nonetheless, it has a decent-sized rim. Feels to me I am a boss thrower.
Right.
Which I feel is important to say here. And this feels like a boss to me.
Right. And same for me. So when I got mine, I really dug the rim right off the bat. So just a little insight to my game. I really enjoy wide rims. The majority of the discs that I throw, or at least comfortably throw, my favorite discs usually have a wider rim.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the opposite. I prefer smaller rims. And this one is fine. It still works. I throw, like I said, I throw the Boss, but the Boss is about the widest rim that I can handle. I prefer to throw fairway drivers with thinner rims or mid ranges, things like that. It just feels more comfortable in my hand personally. But this disc feels comfortable. I, to be honest, from a feel standpoint, I cannot tell the difference between it and a G-Star Boss. It to me feels exactly right. The same.
And see, I've thrown a lot of Bosses as well, and actually I just put one back in my bag. But I've never actually thrown a G-Star Boss, so my description or my review might be a little skewed. For me, I got this disc, and I actually got to throw a little bit before Robin got to throw his, and went right out to a field and was able to snap it off a good 380, 385. I released with a little bit of hyzer. It snapped up to straight. I think the big thing that stuck out for me was that it had a lot of glide. I felt like it just got on that line and flew for days on a nice set gliding line. And then the fade, and that's for me where it differs from the Bosses that I throw. I feel like the fade wasn't as drastic as the fade on one of my Bosses. I feel like it had a smaller fade and it kind of laid down more in line with where I released it rather than kind of a big hook to the left.
Definitely. And the other part was that it was kind of out of the box. I felt like it flew how they told you it was going to.
Exactly. I guess that's a big piece, too. So, you know, the Bosses that I throw are champion Bosses. And if you've thrown a fresh champion Boss, that thing's a meat hook. So for it to out of the box flip to flat from a slight hyzer was a pretty big deal. I do think I did throw a little bit into a headwind that first time. And I definitely had a few times where I threw it with a tail. It still flipped a little bit, just not as drastic. But yeah, so out of the box, it definitely flies on the line and with the numbers that it's given.
But yeah, as advertised, I'd say. I think it's a good disc. I don't know that it's going to catch on as a long-term disc because it's so similar to the Boss. And I don't know that I can tell a difference in the flight path. So it's a cool disc. It's great we have it, that we got this cool stamp along with it. Right. More importantly, this Lognius Maximus tastes delicious.
It does. I do want to go back to the disc a little bit before I get to the beer.
Well, but, okay.
You can drink it. I'm not saying you can't drink it. I think for Robin and I, we can top out probably just over 400 feet. That is based on perfect wind, perfect release, footwork, all that. We're definitely not daily every throw 400 guys. But probably we've each been able to get close or at least touch that 400 with Bosses. And as someone who doesn't have a G-Star Boss, I do like the feel of this disc. But I will say I did throw it into a decent headwind, and it fully 100% turned over for me.
Yeah, I would not trust this disc on a windy day. At a full power throw, you're taking a risk at turning something over. Right. Definitely.
And then for my style of playing and for what I've seen and played with, I feel like G-Star kind of beats in a little bit faster than other plastics from Innova.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this disc is fun, and it does what I want right now. But I feel like in a month or two, if I throw it semi-regularly, it won't have a place in my bag anymore. It's going to be a turnover disc that I can't really trust. And as much as I like it, I really like the feel, and the graphic on top is amazing.
Yeah. We may never get it again.
We totally. So I think
for
me with this disc, if I were to actually put it in my bag, I would hope that it gets released like in a star. I think a champ might just be too much of a hook, and I don't know if I want to spend the time beating it in. But a star might be able to get me close to what I want out of the box and then have kind of a long life with that little bit of flip up and glide.
Also maybe heavier. The difference between 168, which is what we threw, and 175, I think is significant.
And I do tend to throw everything max weight. The majority of my discs are max weight.
I throw a range. Definitely for max distance in ideal conditions, I don't mind throwing a lighter disc. But when you get a little wind in there, you need that extra weight to give you a little more control and have the disc fight the wind a little bit. Definitely.
But it's a super cool disc, and I think if you have just a little bit slower arm than Robin and I think of, and you'll hear more about him, I'm sure we'll tell many a story about our friend Scoots, Robin's brother. This might be a disc that actually could fit in his bag.
I think so, pretty actually. Well. That's not a bad point.
So,
not that anybody knows my brother.
But you'll hear more, don't you worry. So, here's your favorite part, Robin.
Yep, the beer.
Tell me about this beer.
This is from Lagunitas Brewing Company out of Petaluma, California, recently becoming part of the Heineken family, too, which has been a controversy, I guess. I don't know.
Depends on who you talk to.
They're little beer becoming big beer, I guess. But this is called Maximus, as in Russell Crowe in The Gladiator.
So, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. That's exactly
which I'm pretty sure could take the beast that's shown on this Colossus disc.
No.
I mean, okay.
I mean, if you had him drink some of this first.
Also, it looks like this thing is like two mountains tall.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a pretty big beast.
Okay, so maybe Russell Crowe cannot take Colossus in a hand-to-hand battle.
Well, okay.
At least
Maximus Russell Crowe. Gladiator Russell Crowe, maybe. Russell Crowe, no.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right. But I think this beast would love to drink this beer. It is a very strong 8.2%.
Yeah, so it's 8.2. It's IPA. A nice hoppy, big time IPA.
Yeah, but fairly smooth. Good beer.
Oh, definitely. No.
Hopefully, this podcast will end soon before the contents hit my system and cause this quality of the broadcast
slurring and forgetting where we are.
What are we doing again?
So we did talk about the disc. So first off, so I just said it's probably going to stay in my bag for another month or two. I don't know past that. And I think you're saying you have a G-Star Boss. It's pretty similar.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't necessarily need it in your bag.
Yep.
Cool disc. It might fit for someone. But I wanted to bring that up as a transition to the beer. If you're going to go play around, is this a beer that you're putting in your bag?
Probably not. I feel like
it's a whopping 8.2%.
Yeah.
So it's a big boy beer.
That's the kind of beer that could, you might start off the first three holes doing real well, and then you get the hole seven, and that 8.2% comes back to bite you.
Right. So it's definitely a more celebrate the great round than it is start a round or have it mid round.
Like, I had a great drive on 18 with my Colossus. Let me celebrate with the Maximus. Exactly. I think that's how it goes.
So, for this week's disc and beer pairing, neither one will join us on the course beyond maybe the Colossus for a month or two with me.
Unfortunately not. Or unless there's some sort of other sort of event going on with the disc golf round, like, say, a bachelor party or... You know, who knows?
Right. So that the beer could get there.
Yeah.
The disc, maybe not.
We'll see.
You know, here's the thing, too, though. Actually, thinking about your bag. If that G-Star goes somewhere, you might need a backup.
I would.
And you already own this. Not that you wouldn't buy more G-Stars, because we tend to just buy things.
It's a problem. We have a problem.
My only other reason that I wouldn't put it in my bag is because this might be a one run stamp and it looks super cool and I kind of want it on my wall.
It's a cool looking disc. Definitely. They definitely points for style. Big time points for style on the look of the disc overall. The stamp is great. Cool artwork. I like the name. Goes along with the style of the disc. I don't think that we're going to see this disc become a big time popular thing that sticks in people's bags for
a long time. I look forward to a Star Plastic. I do.
Yeah, sure.
So
we can see that.
We could say this beer and this disc are both chain outs.
Wow.
Hey, first podcast, we're trying new things.
Okay. Well, maybe we should stick to what works.
That might work. You don't know.
So, after all of that, the biggest thing that got Joe and I further into disc golf was discovering how much disc golf was on YouTube. And there are so many great channels on disc golf on YouTube where you can find everything from tournaments to pro tips to disc reviews. Everything is out there.
Definitely. And the cool thing is, too, we're going to give you three, but I'm sure you can look up disc golf in general and you can find ones in your area. Mm-hmm. I think something that's fun for us that aren't necessarily in our top three are more local YouTube channels, so we can watch pros or high-level players play on courses that we know. That's always mm-hmm. something really cool to see. I think as this podcast goes on, too, we are planning to play a lot more courses, too, so we can understand it from the player aspect.
There's nothing more telling than watching a pro play a hole that you've played. And if you haven't seen that before, you really need to get on and look for it on a course. Like, a course that you play on a regular basis, and you get on there and you see a pro throw the way they do, it really lets you know where the skill level is in this sport and how good those guys are. It's pretty amazing.
And gals.
And gals, yeah. There are a lot of amazing female disc golfers out there, and we definitely don't want to overlook them.
Definitely. So, Robin, why don't you start off and give us... We're going to go 3-1. So okay. We're going to give you our third favorite to our favorite. So why don't you start off with the number 3?
So our number 3, and the only reason this is number 3 is because they don't post a lot. But their production quality is so amazing that we have to put them on there. Spin TV, which is an offshoot of Innova, puts out tournament videos and reviews and other things like that. Amazing production quality, great commentary, great videography. They are just really excellent.
Yeah, multiple cameras on every hole. Beautiful.
They're not posting every week or even every month, but when they do post a video, it is a must-watch.
Right, and you know it's going to be high quality and probably some of the best stuff to look at.
Definitely.
So our number 2 is actually, it's branded, and that's Prodigy. So it used to be McFly So High was the main. So if you actually want to look in the back catalog and see some really great tournament footage from the past, look up McFly So High. Anyways, he moved over and now does all the filming for Prodigy, but still puts together amazing tournament coverage. There is no commentary or very little commentary, so it's just pure disc golf footage, but great quality, like I said, some multiple cameras. Great, great disc to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of great players, too. You know, they've got Schusterick and mm-hmm. Kohling and
well, and they'll show top cards, too. So they don't only stick to Prodigy players. They'll throw the full, you know, top card or second card, whatever card they're showing. You know, they're not giving any extra to only their players.
Yeah, exactly. Our number one YouTube channel that is a must-watch for anyone. Best commentary, best videos. They've been expanding over the last few years. Central Coast Disc Golf, CCDG, the best.
I will throw a caveat in. Best commentary by a gentleman named Ian, who's the main guy. Guests sometimes aren't the greatest, I'll be honest. He tends to bring in some other commentators to roll with him.
Mm-hmm.
They're not always the best, but there's also sometimes he'll pull in like Macbeth and big names, and yep. It's really great to hear the round through them instead of just hearing it through Ian. But
yeah, and he has a relationship with Innova. They are a sponsor of his. So he has up there right now, he's got a round where he played with friends against Paul Macbeth. And he's had him there for commentary for that and a bunch of other things. Just really great videos, great commentary, great insight into the game. A lot of great courses. Just an awesome channel. Posts all the time.
Right.
Relies on your support. Subscribe to Central Coast Disc Golf.
Get subscribe out there. To Prodigy and yep. to the Spin TV also. Subscribe to as many disc golf channels as you'd like. You can't get too much. I think the other great thing about CCDG, because they are California guys and they're actually Central Coast Disc Golf, they are the go-to for the Masters, for De La Vega, which we brought up earlier, which is probably the best course in California, and I would say one of the best in the United States. Luckily, that's one of the courses we've been able to play a few times,
mm-hmm.
And being able to see pros throw on things that you have is great for your game and just really fun.
Yeah, totally. It's a great thing to watch any of those videos. It'll definitely let you know what is possible. And maybe you're the kind of person that can improve to that level. You never know.
Perfect. All right, guys, so have a great rest of your day. And as we're going to tell you all the time, please, if you can, go out and play a round of disc golf.
Get out and throw.
And if you can, bring a friend.
Yes.
Don't forget to follow us on social media, facebook.com/thediscgolfpodcast.
Hold on. I've never had a Facebook before. This is literally the first time I've had a Facebook.
And you don't really. You have half a Facebook.
So you're going to have to tell... You're going to talk to me just like this. Tell me how to do a Facebook. Is that a thing? Do you do Facebook?
That's weird. Your mom probably has better whoa. Understanding.
Why do you got to bring my mom into Facebook? This? Just tell the people about our social
you're
media.
You're behind the times. You go to www.facebook.com.
I'm offended.
/thediscgolfpodcast. You can go to twitter.com. We are at the Disc Pod, or on Instagram through your phone or whatever device you have. We're also the Disc Golf Pod.
I do understand Twitter.